Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis, left side of the lane, elevates, fades, he fires, and he splashes it through. Shushing the crowd as he goes the other way.
Bucks talk starts now.
Trent's going to have to put up a contested three, and he hits again. Gary Trent Jr. delivers a contested three.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Brandon, are you a big vibes guy?
You know I am, Justin. Come on. You know I'm a vibes guy.
These are the vibes you were looking for to go into 2025.
Absolutely.
And it was rough for a large portion of this game for about 29 minutes. And I think at halftime especially, there's a couple of ways to look at it. Number one, you could have said, man, should Giannis have really come back today? Like he clearly looks like he's still not Giannis. I don't know if it's the back spasms or the illness, but he wasn't the guy we've grown accustomed to seeing in that first half. So there's that. But ever the optimist, as you know I am, you could look at it and you say, well, the second quarter was a disaster. The turnovers, the fact that you hit four threes and you're shooting 20% there. Giannis and Dame, I think, were 1 of 11 at the half for four total points. This game, you know, what game was it? Why am I blanking on it now? The first game they won without Giannis and Dame, where Doc said, the Bulls game, where Doc had said, look, we don't win this game earlier this season. Now we're winning it, and we're winning it comfortably. Famous last words, as they would lose to the Bulls without Giannis less than a week later. But this was one of those games that you looked at and you said, you know, last year, I give you this exact scenario, and these are the numbers. These are the shooting splits at halftime. This is like a 24-point Pacers lead. So the fact that it was 11 gave you some optimism, and I was talking about it with Dave Kane during a couple of breaks during halftime, and that, look, this game's going to go one of two ways. The Pacers are going to run them off the floor, or this is going to be a close game that goes down to the final few possessions of the game, and I think we'll know in the first five or so minutes of that third quarter. And it felt like we got our answer when they pushed it up to 19. But the biggest comeback we've seen from the Bucks this season, and one game does not a season make, but man, this is the type of springboard you were looking for to go into 2025.
Justin, first off, Happy New Year to you. Happy
it's not New Year yet, so.
We're close enough. Happy New Year to you eventually. Happy New Year to all the wonderful Bucks fans who have tuned in all year long. I got two game balls today based off of
your New Year's resolution for 2025, game balls even in losses.
Okay, I like that. I can do that. I like that a lot. I'll do that. For a win today, we got two game balls. And what I think, you mentioned it, alluded to the biggest comeback of the year, the team's best win so far of this year, in my opinion. You're down 19 points in that third quarter. It did not look good at all, but Giannis once again leading the charge, Justin, for this Bucks team. It took him a half to kind of shake off that rust, but when he did, as he has over the past few years, just dominated this Pacers team. They had no answer for him whatsoever. 30 points, 12 boards, 5 assists. His mid-range today looked more incredible than it has all month. I know he hasn't played a whole lot in December, but in the last 4 weeks or so, I thought today it looked really, really good, really comfortable. From the eye test, shot 11 for 20 from the field, excuse me. And I think he was obviously that key part in the comeback win. I mentioned it kind of took him a half to get going. At the break, you mentioned it just a minute ago, just 4 points, and he finished with 30. So just complete dominance from the NBA's best player. Once again, in the second game ball, Justin, I don't think this is going to surprise you. Producer Max did a fantastic job with the show open. He had Giannis highlight in there, and he had a Gary Trent Jr. highlight in there. 14 points off the bench, but it felt like, to me, some of the biggest shots of the game, especially there's one in that fourth quarter.
The two biggest ones.
Yeah. Yeah, back-to-back. I mean, Giannis gets blocked at the rim. The ball gets thrown around. The shot clock's falling down. He's falling to his right. And he sinks it right in front of the Pacers bench. It kind of put him ahead. And then the next possession, he hit one as well. So I thought those were huge, and you and I have alluded to it so many times, Justin. That's exactly what Gary Trent Jr. brings to this team. You, When you went out and you signed him, that is exactly what you were expecting to get from him. He had a shaky start to the year, but as if we're opposing defenses, you can only guard Giannis, Chris, and Dame, you know, sporadically all at once. There's going to get open looks for guys like Taurean Prince and Gary Trent Jr., who the two that he hit really weren't even open, but he knocked him down, and I thought he was huge tonight. So Gary Trent Jr. and Giannis finishing off 2024, Justin, with the final honors of the game balls here on Bucks Talk. Congratulations to Giannis and Gary Trent Jr., and what a win, man. I don't know. I think it's the best win of the year so far. Maybe I'm just, you know, it's the most recent win, but I thought today was just awesome. Really good win.
I mean, it's on the Mount Rushmore of Bucks best wins this season.
Well, you're going out, you're playing a team that
I don't disagree.
The Pacers were trying to get back to 500. They were at full court pressure. It felt like all game. They clearly were looking to get to beat the Bucks and kind of avenge that NBA Cup tournament loss that they had. So I don't know. I thought today was just – it was fantastic. To be down 19 and be able to come back in the way you were when you didn't have Damian Lillard, you know, playing up to his standard. And really, Giannis for the first half of today was awesome.
Yeah, one of the best wins we've seen from this group this season, and especially the way they closed out this game. Now, you got a lot of help from the Indiana Pacers, but you still have to do something with those opportunities. And that's what the Bucks did here, especially in the fourth quarter of this game. 855-616-1620. The number to join us here on this New Year's Eve edition of Bucks Talk. I do want to take a closer look at Gary Trent Jr. and just the overall rotation. We heard Doc Rivers touch on this a little bit. Is this suddenly a deep team that the Bucks have? We'll get into that coming up next here on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk. Ain't no way
they can stop me now. 120 to 112, the final score today in Indianapolis. The Bucks close out the calendar year with an impressive win against the Indiana Pacers. A game where he just got 9 points from Damian Lillard. He and Giannis were 1 of 11, was it, at the half?
Correct, yep.
Giannis just completely took over in the second half of this game. You mentioned the mid-range shot. Doc Rivers said after the game, too, like, it's an important shot. Goes without saying, it's going to be important and something he needs in the playoffs. He has clearly been much more comfortable with it, and I don't even know if I would say he's a streaky mid-range shooter, because it seems like there have been more ups than downs. And in this game, I think by the numbers, you're going to list him at 5 of 9, which is still above 50% shooting, but he was 5 of 8. One of those misses was a half a step inside the three-point line, and it was all from the left this time. So he's continued to add that, and it's all part of the evolution because, you know, you felt pretty bad about the score and the way the game was being played for most of the certainly first half and what the midpoint of the third quarter. The other part was I know it's more of a vanity project, but Giannis's streak of scoring 20 or more points and shooting 50% or better from the floor was in serious jeopardy when he was 6 of 13, and it felt like this game's starting to slip out of reach. And from there, he finishes the game 5 of 7, and I do believe all 5 of those makes were those mid-range jumpers.
And they were just so pure, Justin. They just looked really – I mean, the turnaround at the baseline over – I believe it was Miles Turner that you know tied the game back up after Indiana had taken the lead. They were not only were they great shots, but like they were clutch shots. Like that's the other thing that I think needs to be addressed when it comes to him shooting that mid-range. You expect those from guys like Chris Middleton and Damian Lillard, but when Giannis can now put the threat into the defender's mind that his mid-range, 5 of 9 tonight, and that, if that's something that continues on. I mean, I already think he's unguardable, in a way, but I mean, you had a mid-range. I mean, you're talking about a whole different type of player because there's just not a defense that's going to be able to guard him, even if the wall, the Giannis wall that was established in 2019. I mean, it opens up the Bucks offense to so many more avenues to scoring the basketball. And you had talked about they need to get into that top five, or at least need to kind of sniff around that top five, to be in the serious contention for a title. That's a way to do it. That's a piece to do it. Obviously, you know, being healthy and establishing guys, you know, your big three together. I believe I saw a stat. I don't know if this is legit, but that this is only the 13th game where the big three have played under Doc Rivers, that is. So, you know, obviously that's important going forward, but you unlock your offense by, you know, not first off, you're going to sink on Giannis. He's going to hit the jumper. You're going to press on him. He's going to go right past you. He's going to either kick it or he's going to slam it on your face. And the Bucks offense it's going to be unstoppable.
We mentioned the big shots from Gary Trent Jr. And I want to revisit one of the quotes that Doc had in post game, because you and I have talked quite a bit this season about the makeup of the roster and how the group just makes sense now. And the way this group was constructed, where you knew going into the offseason what the team was going to look like. It wasn't like last year when you made a massive trade on the eve of training camp. So you had more of an opportunity to really build around your strengths and address what you knew your weaknesses were going to be. And I think that's what we're really starting to see here. But the development that we've seen from young guys has been huge, too. That has all of a sudden led to a surplus of playable guys. Look, I get there's differences between the depth that certain teams have in terms of just how good some of that talent is. But the fact of the matter is, there is depth on this team. Like last year, you only had 7 or 8 guys at most that you really trusted and felt like we could play. And a handful of those guys had a specific flaw to their game. I'm not saying that this group is without flaws, but it's starting to feel like this is growing into a really deep team. And Doc Rivers shared some thoughts on that after the game. We'll get into that conversation next.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk. Pretend you
know this song, everybody come here. 46 points today from the Bucks bench. And, you know, how you win games like this or steal games like this is you win on the margins and you win those hustle categories. And that's where the Bucks dominated. I mean, statistically, the shooting was what it was in the first half when the Bucks were 4 of 20. The Pacers, I don't remember what the volume was, but they were shooting 39% on threes. The Bucks were 20%. So they finished the second half 8 of 13 on their three-point attempts, which shows you how poorly they were shooting in the first half. That you go 8 of 13 and a half and you finish the game at 36% shooting. But they dominated. They used their size to dominate on the offensive glass with 13 offensive boards. I think Bobby had 4 or 5 of those. They scored 21 points off of those. So you just look at all these statistical columns here. Bucks were plus 12 points scored on second chance points coming from offensive rebounds. They were plus 8 in points in the paint. They were plus 7 on points scored off of turnovers. And that's the other thing that probably gets lost in the shuffle here. Is I think they had 2 turnovers in the second half after a disastrous second quarter that really allowed the Pacers to get out and run. But their bench, just to tie it all together, 46 points from the bench, 29 from the Pacers. Bobby Portis and Gary Trent Jr. were big for this team today. And for Bobby, maybe not necessarily the shooting, 0 of 2 on his threes, only 6 of 14 from the floor, but 15 rebounds. And mentioned what the Bucks were able to do on that offensive glass in creating second chance opportunities, but more importantly, defensive rebounding as well, just to make sure Pacers don't get multiple cracks at this. And look, the Pacers and Bucks are the 2 worst offensive rebounding teams in the league. So you did figure coming in, both of these teams had to say, we're going to have a lot of opportunities on the defensive glass, but the Bucks did a tremendous job with that. And Bobby Portis was a big piece of it. Gary Trent Jr., though, to round out the bench scoring point, it seems like we've started to see Gary Trent Jr. find his comfort zone in that you're seeing more and more of these 14, 15-point type of games, the big moments that he has. And Doc Rivers talked not just about Gary, but the entire second unit a little bit after the game. He mentioned with Gary Trent Jr. specifically, though, as we've talked about, he's a gambler on defense. But he's just one of those guys, as Doc said, I think Bucks fans, you look at it this way too. TJ McConnell, when you look at the stat sheet, and tonight it wasn't necessarily the case, but it seems like every game, if you look at the box score, TJ McConnell scores like 5 points. But then when he plays the Bucks, it's 17 points
over and over.
Now, today it was just, what, 6 points that he had?
Six.
But the old adage of, well, you do it once, it just seems to happen over and over and over. And that was Doc's point on Gary Trent Jr. of when you're a guy like that that just gets your hands out there and creates deflections and gets on loose balls, it just everyone seems to go to you when that's the way that you play. And we saw a lot of that today. I don't think it's coincidental that we saw the Bucks go to a zone again in the third quarter. And Doc has done this quite a bit. The third quarter is their quarter to go to the zone because, as he says, look, you do it in the first half, and if it works, teams spend halftime working on adjustments for it. If you pull it out in the second half, if you can at least don't let go of the rope and keep yourself in that spot where we can pull out that zone in the second half, that's a major advantage to you. And the Bucks went to it. And as Doc said, you know, deflections, they're even more important in the zone. Like when you can play that way and when you can get even your fingertip on a ball like that, it just breaks everything down when teams are playing against the zone. And I think that's a big part of what we saw in the second half to get the Pacers out of their rhythm. But the larger point on the depth, Brandon, is, you know, as Doc said today after this win, I think we're a deep team. We have Pat Connaughton, who right now is not playing a lot of minutes. He didn't mention DeLon Wright because he's been in and out with the injuries and guys unavailable. But DeLon Wright is in that same boat, too. He didn't play tonight or today. Ryan Rollins only played for a couple of minutes in the fourth quarter to basically get Giannis some rest and have somebody that could handle this pressure that you mentioned in the full-court press that the Pacers are running out. Ryan Rollins has had some big games for the Bucks. Pat Connaughton, as we both said, I think he's been good overall in the minutes that you've put him in here this year. The athleticism isn't what it once was. That's the big knock right now on Pat Connaughton. But when you've asked for something from him, he's largely given it to you. And Doc's point, too, of look at A.J. Green and Gary Trent Jr. Those two guys are basically splitting minutes right now, both coming off the bench, that you just have a number of guys now, this year, that you trust. Whereas last year, for large portions of the season, it was there's four guys that I know I trust in virtually any spot. The rest is a work in progress.
Yeah, to go off of your point, Justin, about being the deepest team, I completely agree with you. And I know you're a big plus or minus guy. You're two biggest.
It's also that's your second New Year's resolution is forgetting plus or minus.
I'm only going to make this point because it helps my further point. It helps your point as
like
well.
A true statistician.
Your two best plus or minus guys tonight, Justin, were off of the bench in Bobby Portis plus 15,
yeah,
and Taurean Prince plus 16. And like you said, that speaks volumes on both of those players because you mentioned Bobby only being 6 of 14 and Taurean Prince was only 4 of 9. He only took 9 shots. For those two guys to be, you know, the bigger additions off of, you know, for your team in the plus or minus category when Giannis dominated that second half. I know he struggled in that first half, as you and I talked about. That speaks volumes on your team. And not only that, but how many times has Taurean Prince, you know, been a huge piece as a starter, you know, before Chris Middleton came back? And Bobby Portis, when Giannis missed those games, was a starter. To be able to have guys like that, to be able to pull off your bench, and you're not, look, you're never going to replace a guy like Giannis. You're never going to replace a guy like Chris. But those two have stepped up in meaningful ways throughout the course of the season, Justin, to where if Giannis is going to miss a few games or if Chris is going to miss a game or two here or there, I'm not saying you're losing, you know, you're not losing anything, but you feel good, man. Like, you feel good about those guys stepping in. And I know a lot of Bucks fans are kind of hard on Bobby Portis. You don't wake up and roll out of bed and have 14 and 15 against a really good team. Like, and I know the Pacers are two games under 500, but they're a team that really dominated the Bucks a year ago, all year, including the playoffs. So shout out to both of them. And again, we're now seeing the Gary Trent Jr. that I think we thought we were going to see, and how huge today was just a great example. It's a perfect time to talk about depth, Justin, because I mean, I don't know. Like, do they win? Maybe they don't win that game without those back-to-back threes. I mean, one of them put them ahead for good. You know, and one of the other one, I think, tied the game. Like, they were huge shots, man. I mean, just absolutely huge. And I think Ryan Rollins is going to be a big piece. Maybe it's not this year. You know, maybe it's next year. Obviously, he's a younger player, and he's going to earn his minutes throughout the course of his career. But I thought the way this team has been built, you and I feel like we talk about it almost every show. It just, this makes sense. Like, these are the pieces that need to be around the big three. They complement, their strengths complement the big three and how they're able to kind of incorporate them into the offense and to the defense.
Yeah, I would still like to see Bobby Portis take more threes. And I know Doc has talked about this a little bit recently in that, look, I have full trust in Bobby Portis. I know what he's capable of. I know what his strengths are. And you've seen a lot of post touches from Bobby Portis, which, not to open up the can of worms over all the discourse that exists over our post touches actually efficient. But I'd like to see more threes in 2025 to kind of once again start to shift that shot diet closer to the outside. He is taking more this year than he did last year on a per-game basis. But you think back to the run to the finals in the year after that, too, when Bobby Portis was taking about five threes a game. Ideally, that's what I'd like to see with the spacing there for the Bucks. But, I exclude Ryan Rollins from this because it was just over a minute, I think, that he played in this game. Taking him out of the mix, every single guy that came off the bench in your favorite stat line there was positive in the plus minus. So I think they all gave you valuable contributions tonight. I mean, A.J. Green hit a big shot, too. A couple of them. The look what I found in the corner where he ends up with it and drills a corner three. And, you know, up and down that line, Bobby Portis, what he gave you on the glass and some baskets underneath there in the paints. Gary Trent Jr., as we talked about the three-point shooting that he gave you. Torian Prince played 25 minutes. Another game where the struggles were there on his threes that I think he's around less than 25% since Chris Middleton returned to the floor on his three-point shooting. But he's still giving you defense. He's still giving you other plays where he's attacking the basket too. So those are the things that you need when you don't have Giannis and Damian Lillard on the floor, certainly. But, you know, in games when they're struggling to find their shots and find their offense overall. It wasn't the case for Giannis in the final 24 minutes of this game. But it was for Dame, save for a couple of stretches in that third and fourth quarter. You need your role players in your bench to step up and give them that boost. And that's exactly what you got today. And the last thing I would say about the plus-minus numbers is...
it's your favorite, of course.
When we look at the bench and their plus-minus, you know, when we talk about the Bucks won the bench total, I mean... in some ways, it's important. In some, it can be overblown because it really depends on how your roster is constructed and what your starting lineup is. For me, the way I value it is the one instance where I will side with you and look at the plus-minus numbers because, to me, it's not important to be a top-scoring bench or one of the best, highest-scoring benches in the league or to win every single game of, hey, Bucks scored 46, Pacers scored whatever it was tonight, I think 30-some. To me, 36. The more important part is that plus-minus part because early on in this era of Bucks basketball, when they Bud's first year, when they won 60 games, and they kind of made the announcement of, hey, we're going to be a title contender year in, year out, they found a lot of success with their bench by doing the little things. And it wasn't a high-scoring bench. It was more a second unit where Bud and the rest of the team said, okay, we gave you the lead. Don't give back the lead. Just protect this lead. Make sure we're still up when we go back to largely starters. Do a good job of protecting the lead. And that's, in some ways, what that plus-minus speaks to, especially in today's game of that second unit, you know, especially late when the Bucks got up, they protected that lead. But they did a good job of making sure it wasn't a total disaster in the minutes where Giannis was off the floor and Dame was off the floor.
And you got to look at the last few years too, Justin, with championship teams. I mean, look at the Celtics a year ago when that, when their bench comes out, you know, there isn't a whole lot lost on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. You look at Denver, the same thing when they won their championship. You can obviously look at the Bucks in 2021, but especially the last 2 years, where you got a team, you got a depth on your team. Not only is able to score the basketball when your starters are out or when you have a couple that are missing, but the defense is there. And I think that's the big, you know, aspect to having a deep team, especially come playoff time when the game starts to slow down and it's more of a half court set. You know, right now I trust Gary Trent Jr. I trust Taurean Prince. I trust Ryan Rollins to kind of step up on both ends of the floor to where, you know, if the Bucks, you know, Giannis gets in foul trouble or if Chris gets in foul trouble, you know, they're able to kind of just hold their head above water, scoring the ball, but defensively they're going to excel at what they're doing. And to me, that's what makes a great team, because you can have a great starting offensive lineup. We've seen really good teams with a great starting five, but when that bench comes out, it just goes, whatever lead they had is evaporated, you know, within minutes, because their bench isn't able to kind of, you know, keep their head above water. I feel confident in this Bucks team, in the way the bench is constructed right now, that they're going to be able to do that, you know, come playoff time especially.
855-616-1620 is that number to join us today on Bucks Talk. So with the win, the Bucks 17-14 on the season. Those last two games against the Nets and Bulls, tough not to look at it and say, man, we had a chance to be 19-12 going into 2025, especially from where this team started, and to be in that conversation with the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics, who are just a game in front of the Knicks now for the two seed. It's still not over in terms of shutting the door. I do think the door has been shut on the one seed, that Cleveland is running away with that thing right now. But this is going to be an interesting stretch here for the Bucks because of how compressed where they currently reside in the standings, how compressed that is with a handful of teams. This is an opportunity for one of those teams to distance themselves from the rest of the pack, similar to what I think we've seen the Knicks doing here these past couple of weeks. We'll get into that conversation next on Bucks Talk.
The hardwood homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
So with this win, the Bucks head into 2025 at 17-14. You are tied in the loss column with the Orlando Magic, who currently hang on to that four spot. I mean, massive amount of credit to the Magic for continuing to hover where they have, despite it seems like every other game losing another one of their very few offensive pieces that they have. But what we've seen really the last couple weeks is the New York Knicks going on an 8-game win streak and the Celtics playing 500. So now it's just one game separating those two teams for the two seed in the Eastern Conference. It's number one, it's too early to get into the standings watch. And, well, if the Bucks win X amount of games, they'll finish here. And also, I think if we've learned anything the last 2 years, 3 years for that matter, four, let's date back to the championship when the Bucks won as a three seed. I don't know. I'm not going to say seeding doesn't matter, but I think we can overinflate the importance of specific seed lines. To me, the big thing is it's almost like the discussion that's going on right now with the team to the north of, look, it's not going to be ideal to have to win every single one of these series without home court advantage. So four is the baseline for me. Like, if you finish fourth, fine. You at least have home court. You're going to have to play maybe the Cavs in the second round, but you're going to have to beat good teams to get out of the playoffs to begin with. But the bigger thing is just I would almost say I don't care where they finish as long as that trio of guys and Brooke Lopez is healthy going into the playoffs. But, I mean, the door is not closed. As I said, four, I'd be fine with it. Even five. Not to go back on what I just said, but hey, if the scenario is you're the five seed, but but everybody is healthy going into the playoffs, fine. I guess I will take that. But there's an opportunity here. If teams start to go through the malaise once again, the Bucks again, have a relatively favorable schedule. It does pick up with better teams in the month of January, but a majority of your games are at home. And we've just seen teams start to figure it out and play better in the East. But those teams have seemingly either been at the top of the conference or at the very bottom in the case of the Bucks and now the 76ers. What the Pacers were starting to do as well, leaving that middle part of the conference up for the taking. And that's where the Bucks can start to really gain some momentum and leapfrog teams here.
Yeah, you mentioned the schedule, Justin. I'm skimming through it real quick. I'm only counting, for the month of January, I think four teams with a winning record. Now, I'm doing it really quickly here.
And it's like San Antonio, in one stretch.
Correct. San Antonio, Orlando, New York, and then eventually Miami, which could at that point.
For now, yeah.
Correct. So I agree with you. And you have you have one back-to-back in the month of January. Excuse me, you have two of them, one at the in the middle and one at the end. But the one in the middle, the 14th and 15th, are at home. It's a home-and-home. Sacramento and Orlando. It's not going to be easy, obviously, but you're right. I mean, the home schedule versus the away schedule in the month of January is a great opportunity for this Bucks team to kind of take that next step, especially as we get closer to the All-Star break in February, and kind of push forward and remain healthy and get games and minutes with these guys, the big three, I mean, together, and kind of solidify going into the All-Star break. It's a great opportunity, I think, in January, where they're at right now, three games over 500. But at the end of the month, I don't want to get too far ahead of my skis here, but I think, you know, to push to that 10 games over, I think is a realistic goal for this Bucks team based off the way they've been playing. I know they dropped two games against Brooklyn and Chicago that they probably should have won at least one of them, but that's okay. That's going to happen. They're going to win games that maybe they shouldn't. They're going to lose games maybe that they shouldn't as well. But I'm encouraged by the look of the schedule, the way it breaks for the Bucks in the month of January. It's going to get tougher as the year goes on. Their schedule tightens up towards the end of the season, but it's a great opportunity as far as seeding to kind of cement yourself right now in that middle of the pack as far as the Eastern Conference goes.
One other thing to at least be aware of and keep an eye on in regards to this schedule for the Bucks. I do want to get into that conversation as we wrap up the final show of 2024 after this.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
So the other thing to keep an eye on here in the second half of the season is the Bucks have played 31 games now going into 2025. I believe it is the Bucks, and these are interesting teams to point this out with, the Bucks, the Miami Heat, the 76ers, and the Washington Wizards are the three teams in the Eastern Conference that have played the fewest games in 2024 going into the next year. So that, of course, means you have more games to make up, which means same amount of time to make up those games as the rest of the league. You're going to have more back-to-backs. And the Bucks were up there among the leaders with the most in the league. Unfortunately, a majority of them come late in the season for an older team. So that is one thing to be aware of and why it is very important to bank winnable games. It's what you left kicking yourself over, even though you didn't have Giannis or Damian Lillard in one of those games, in that loss to the Brooklyn Nets, and you didn't have Giannis in that loss to the Bulls. They were right there for the taking. And I talked about this somewhere else. Those are the games that, in the end, can cost you seed lines. When you look back, you'd say, well, we finished a game back of the Knicks or a game back of the Magic, or we tied with this team and they have the tiebreaker over us. Well, you win that game, it's a different story. So these winnable games and these games against teams below 500 that you point out they have a number of for most of January, these are the games. To me, it's more important to win those games for the Bucks than it is to get your quote-unquote statement wins and beat the good teams.
Yeah, I agree with that, Justin. And I feel like, I know we're getting ready to wrap up the show and wrap up the 2024, the old year. Welcome in 2025. I feel like the storylines that you and I have been able to talk about from the start of this year, Justin, to where we are right now, it feels like three seasons in one in the last 2 months. So this Bucks team's been through a lot. They've been through a lot. They've been tested. They've been resilient. Tonight, today, I guess is a better description, was another example of this team being down 19 points, fighting back, having a rough first half from your two best players, and walking out with an 8-point victory speaks volumes for a team where, you know, led by Doc Rivers, who Eric Name of The Athletic asked, you know, what was the reason for the comeback today? And Giannis answered, Doc, and that's all he said. And he gave, you know, a reason why. But that's despite a schedule tightening up, you know, despite, you know, being only three games above 500 after starting 2-8. And I know we're going to put that to bed shortly. I'm encouraged going into 2025 because not only of Giannis and Dame and Chris, but because of the leadership of this team, Justin, I feel really, really good about going into 2025 and eventually into the playoffs for this Milwaukee Bucks team.
Chance to build on it Thursday night. The Brooklyn Nets come to town. 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.